The Bible speaks of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge are the many facts of life in the world that we live in. They're the pieces that we work with. Understanding is the ability to take several facts and then combine them to arrive at new information, to realize something else that may not be necessarily present in the world. Wisdom, then, is knowing when information ought to be applied in different situations. Take a look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3, and in verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds and gentleness of wisdom. So James tells us that wisdom is demonstrated, shown to other people by our good conduct. In other words, like faith, it's not proved by mere words. Just because you claim to be wise doesn't necessarily make you wise. In James chapter 2, verse 18, he says, but someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works. I will show you my faith by my works. Wisdom's the same way. It's something that's demonstrated, shown, not just claimed. Or like the proof of salvation in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 28. Or 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. Again, Paul makes emphasis on you show your faith. You show your salvation. You demonstrate it by the way you behave. Wisdom then is shown by the manner in which we apply it to our lives. There's a meekness to wisdom. See, meekness is someone who's devoid of selfish motives. A meek person is solely concerned about other people, and he gives no thought to himself. True wisdom is something that looks for solutions for other people. But earthly wisdom is something that looks for solutions that only benefits the one who's speaking. And it may harm the listener, but the one who's speaking earthly wisdom doesn't really care. Take a look at James chapter 3 again. This time in verse 14. James chapter 3, verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there's disorder in every evil thing. And he goes on then to describe what the characteristics of true wisdom are. But the wisdom that is above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So this evening, what I'd like for us to do is go through some characteristics of what it looks like to be wise. How do you spot a wise person? How do you be a wise person? One thing is that a wise person looks for the advice or the counsel of other people. See, earthly wisdom is all focused about oneself. And so we shouldn't be surprised that someone who's going after earthly wisdom, well, he always thinks he's right. And we find in Proverbs, the one who's opposite of a wise person would be a fool. And in Proverbs chapter 12, Proverbs 12 and in verse 15, so the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. A wise person knows he may not be right. He's willing to see things from other people's points of view. A wise person understands we can't direct our own steps. We're oftentimes too close to the problem. In Jeremiah chapter 10, Jeremiah chapter 10 and in verse 23, it says, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. We're too close involved in any situation that we're involved in. We can't see everything because of that. We need other viewpoints. If we're going to find the best solution, then we have to seek possibilities, especially concerning ones that we might not have thought about ourselves. And so a wise man learns from other people, and because of that, he becomes wiser still. In Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse 5, so the wise men will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. But, you know, any old counsel is not good. Sometimes tease people, you know, if I go down to the homeless guy on the corner that's begging for money, if I ask him for financial advice, how good will you think I get advice from them? We got to be careful about who we get our advice from as well. We want counsel from people who are knowledgeable in the field in which we need advice. So I'm not going to ask my mechanic, my mechanic's really good, but I'm not going to ask him about the leak in my roof. It's just not his specialty. My doctor might not be the best person to ask why my car is idling roughly either. That's not his area of expertise. And so we find in Psalms chapter 1 a similar type of advice. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. You don't get wise advice, godly advice, moral advice from someone who's living a wicked life. The surest and greatest source of wisdom, of course, is from God. Going back to Proverbs, this time Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9 and starting with verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will increase his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied and your years of life will be added to you. The most reliable, surest counsel, advice that we can get, is advice that God gives us in His Word. Again in Proverbs, this time chapter 19 and verse 20, listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. Many plans are in man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. And I've seen this over and over, and I haven't lived that long of a life relatively to the world being around here. But I constantly see people making statements that are contrary to what God has said. And it becomes a fad and everybody's rushing after it. And somewhere about 5-10 years later, they start saying, you know what? It's better off doing it this way. And go back to what God said. We have to get the best advice. And God already knows how this world works. He made it. Not only does a wise man seek counsel, a wise man also controls what he says. You see, the more often you speak, the more often you're going to make a mistake. So the simple thing is, speak less. In Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, it says, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. And in contrast to that, the fool doesn't know how to keep his mouth shut. In Proverbs chapter 29, Proverbs 29 and verse 11, it says, a fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. Or some of the translation says, a fool vents all his feelings. He just, like one of those geysers I got to see in June, just blows up and just spews out everything he has. Wise people know to keep their mouth closed. In fact, in James chapter 3, it's talking about a perfect man or a mature man. And he says, for we stumble in many ways. It's James 3 verse 2. We stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. If I can manage to control my mouth, I got enough self-discipline to control the rest of me. Now, of course, controlling a person's mouth is difficult. A lot of times we accidentally spout something we wish we didn't. But it's a sign of maturity. It's a sign of wisdom. That's why in the beginning of James, James chapter 1, verse 19, he said, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. We need to learn how to be slow to speak. We so often want to put in our two cents that we don't stop and listen to what other people say. Another thing we have to realize, and a wise person does understand this, is that everything doesn't have to be said. So often we fear, I run across people who feel they have to get in the last word. That somehow they got to keep pressing it until somebody else says uncle. Rather than saying, everything doesn't need to be said. I don't have to tell everybody everything. In Proverbs 17, and in verse 27, he who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. You want to know the simple answer to why that is true? It's that old saying that you open your mouth and you remove all doubt about how smart you really are. Don't give evidence about how little you know. Keep your mouth shut. People are going to assume that you know more than you actually do. I've had that happen to me in business meetings a few times. I tend to like to listen to what everybody says. I had a boss once to come up to me and say, okay, what's going on? Obviously, you know what's happening. I was just listening. But he assumed that because I wasn't saying it much, that somehow I knew more than everybody else. But it basically means wisdom shown in selecting when to say something. Thinking about what is appropriate to say. And we need to remember that God will judge us by our words. And so we need to act according to that. In Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 37. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. A wise man also controls what he does. See, a wise man will stay away from evil. I can't tell you how often I've heard people who are straying into sin say, well, I didn't think it would hurt. So often sin begins by trying to walk along the edges, trying to do that tight walk right along the cliff base. Or sometimes it starts by intending to do one thing and then finding yourself doing the wrong thing. We have to understand sin is dangerous. Sin is deadly. It's like a whirlpool. You don't tamper with it and try to see how close you can get to not get pulled into it. The best answer is stay away from it. In Proverbs chapter 14, Proverbs 14 and verse 16, a wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. If we understand the lure of sin, then we ought to know I need to stay as far as I can from sin as I can in my life. Which also means that I need to keep my eyes open, see where things are going. So many people walk into sin blind that it's present. In Proverbs chapter 22, Proverbs 22 and verse 3, the prudent sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it. And so we need to put everything to a test. We got to think about, is this right or is this wrong? Not based on my feelings or even popular opinion. I need to know what God thinks about these matters. And Paul tells in 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and in verse 22 he says, but examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Test everything. And when you see that something may be wrong, stay away from it, while holding on to what is right. But speaking of thinking in advance, a wise person makes his plans in advance. We talked about this morning, about the ant. The ant survives because it makes preparation for the evil days. Going back again to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, and then starting with verse 6. Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provisions in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man. A lot of times we just take the lazy way, we just drift along, and then we say, well, what hit us? Where did this come from? We weren't preparing in advance for what might happen. A wise person then prepares in advance of his need. In Proverbs 10 and in verse 5, he who gathers in summer is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who acts shamefully. Summertime is oftentimes, when you're in a farming community, that's the slow days. You have planted in the spring, harvest comes in the fall, summer is really the slow time. But if you're still working in summer, then you're prepared. The worst thing to do is try taking it easy during the harvest. You got to get the crops in or you miss the opportunity. So a wise son prepares in advance. In fact, the difference between the wise man and the foolish man, do you remember we sometimes sing the song, but it's based on Matthew chapter 7, about the wise man who built his house upon the rock? In Matthew 7 and in verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. Yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And it fell, and great was its fall. The difference between the two is who thought ahead of what might happen. The wise man said, there can be storms. And he put a sure foundation underneath his house. I'm sure the foolish man looked at it and said, hey, it's easy to dig in the sand. This is a great place to put a house. We have to think ahead. And listening to God gives us the information that we need in advance. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And in verse 3 says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. God has given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. That about covers everything that we need to know. So true wisdom is learned from God. It can't be learned from the world. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and in verse 20, it says, where's the wise man? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The world doesn't come by its wisdom to God. Their idea of wisdom is to get away from God. But God is the source of true wisdom. Paul further says in verse 25, he says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Not that God is ever foolish, but if you take the least wise thing of God, that's still far superior to anything men produce. And so the result is something that the world doesn't expect. Because the world does not come to know God. And so in verse 27, he said, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things that are strong. And the base things of the world, the spies God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Why does God do things that's unexpected by the world? Because then the world cannot claim that they did it. God chooses things that are unexpected. As our theme this month is, the small things, the little things, things people overlook. And it demonstrates his power. Because it's not the way the world would have done it. Wisdom is seen in how it's used and what it creates in people. Again, in James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. To get to that point, it starts then when a person yields himself to God's teachings. Not just hearing words and just having a book learning, in a sense, of what God says, but an actual applying what God has said to a person's life. Back in James chapter 1 and verse 25, or 21, James chapter 1 verse 21, says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. And so we need to look at God's wisdom, learning it for ourselves, demonstrating it ourselves by applying it to our lives and making it a part of ourselves. And there's no better time to start applying that than right now. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. Those of you who are children of God would like the prayers of your brethren on behalf. We get that opportunity as well. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.